branding, experience, conversation, promotion, powerful marketing, empowering small business to change their status quo. It's the internet show all about small business marketing. Jay Arrett hosts the brightest minds in marketing. Power to the small business.
And thank you, Mary Lynn. That is Mary Lynn Foster, one half of the Big Success Podcast. And you can find Mary Lynn and George Kruger over at the Big Success Show at bigsuccess.com. That's B-I-G-G, two Gs, bigsuccess.com. Thanks again, Mary Lynn, for that excellent opening. My name is Jay Arrett. Hey, welcome to the internet show all about small business marketing. I am a small business marketing coach, consultant, speaker, blog author. You can find my website at themarketingspot.com. My blog is themarketingspotblog.com, where you will find show notes on this episode of Power to the Small Business, Local Marketing. Got my good friend Bob Locke, a local marketer here in Waco, Texas, has his own agency here in Waco. He's going to join me in studio today, and we're going to talk about local marketing. What do you need to be doing local-wise to be effective with your marketing on a local level? Before we get to that, I've got an announcement. Got some free webinars coming up in August. Actually one, but I'm going to hold it twice. Once on August 17th at 1:15 p.m. Central, and then on August 20th at 7:15 a.m. Central. That's a Monday and a Thursday. The title of the webinar is What is a Brand and How Do You Get One? Great for local businesses, great for small businesses. We're going to cover the brand basics, the components of a brand, the branding steps, what do you need to do to get a brand? And all participants will get a special bonus, an audio program, How to Build a Brand Promise. You can sign up on the website, themarketingspot.com. And that's on August 17th and August 20th, two different dates, two different times. Hopefully, we'll be able to hit everybody. Okay, now on to local marketing. Let's bring Bob Locke into the conversation. And this time we don't go to the Skype line, but we've got live in studio. Well, it is recorded, but in the studio is Bob Locke of Locke Marketing in, yes, Woodway, Texas. Hey, Bob, welcome to the big show.
Thank you, Jay. Great to be here.
I think Woodway, Texas may have the most marketers per capita in the United States because both Bob and I live in Woodway. We both office out of our homes, and we both are marketing companies here in Woodway, Texas.
But right.
Appreciate you stopping by the office here today, talking about local marketing. I'm going to give a little history. Bob and I go way, way back, farther back than I'd like to admit, really. My first radio job here in Waco, Texas, when I came to be copywriter at the old KJNE radio, Bob was in sales there. He took me under his wing because I was coming to the big city of Waco, Texas.
That was a little water under the bridge ago.
And then you were my boss for a while, for a couple of years at the old KRZI and Key 92.
That's
radio,
right
here.
Yeah.
When you were a general manager and I was sales manager over there. So, yep, the history goes way back. But Bob's here because Bob has a marketing company, Locke Marketing, L-A-U-C-K, in Woodway, Texas. And he deals with a lot of local clients and some car dealers too, right?
Right.
And so I thought it'd be good to get a local marketing perspective because so much of what you get online is not local marketing. It's all about being online and social media and websites and everything like that. But there's an aspect to the small business that you need to pay attention to, and that's local marketing. So given the current economic conditions and given your dealings with local clients, let's just talk about right now what marketers should be doing on a local level. What are some things that they should be looking at doing?
Number one for me is customer service. If they have a customer service issue, I don't care what you do. Right now, people expect great customer service. They demand great customer service. When we think about bad customer service over the last 25 years or so, I think if you look at some research, what do people think of when they think about companies that have bad customer service? Were utility companies, cable companies, city services, without getting into retailers. So I would say customer service. If you have any kind of issues with customer service in your business, you need to get that fixed because this is where problems get started.
So customer service is a big thing. What should businesses be doing to improve their customer service, do you think?
Well, right now, whatever it takes to make a customer happy, and I literally mean whatever it takes, because you can't afford to lose a customer. I have a client that's in a service business, and we've, not that he ever had any really big issues with pleasing customers. It's just that right now he's making double sure that he doesn't lose anybody. When he does a job for a customer, he himself, as the owner of the company now, talks to every one of those people. Before, they would get follow-up calls and follow-up emails and so on to make sure they were happy. But now he personally oversees all those himself, including picking up the phone and calling somebody.
Mm-hmm. So the owner taking personal interest, that's very powerful when the owner of a company has the, you know, has the time, or at least takes the time to talk to clients on a local level and communicate with them. And going back to the customer service, Bob, what I find in companies that I deal with is there's no training for their employees. They try their best to hire the best employees, and then they give them the speech and everything like that. But there's no formal training programs that I see in most local businesses for training your employees to deal with customers, and then also deal with customers on a certain specific circumstance. I mean, when you look at the people that you hire, you're going to hire the best people you can get for the lowest money that you can get. And those people that you hire, they don't have that experience of delivering those wow customer experiences and giving that great service. So you have to take the time to introduce them how to give the experience that they've probably never, ever received before in their careers.
What this particular company did, and another one that I was working with, also in a service business, they wanted to address problems before they happened. So they made sure that they're constantly talking to their employees about being polite, being neat. When they show up, it's like, I'm privileged to be here. What can I do for you? And how can I make this better? And it's anything the customer wants. And I say that, of course, you know, there's limits. But if anybody wasn't happy, they went out of their way to make them happy. I know that when I've had a bad experience in my home from a service call, it was, well, when I get back, I'll tell this to the boss, and we'll see what we can do to make you happy. Mm-hmm. For these people, it's, okay, let me make a phone call here on my cell phone, and I'll get him on the line for you, and let's discuss how we can fix this while I'm present. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Taking immediate action. Another thing is, for goodness sakes, take the cell phones away from your employees while they're working. And there's no texting. A lot of times you'll walk into a business, especially a retail business, a restaurant, and it's like the customer is a distraction between conversations. I mean, employees will take a little bit of time out from their conversation to turn to the customer and ring them up. But other than that, the employees are more involved with discussions with each other, texting on their mobile phones and other things like that.
There's a restaurant that we both have eaten at here in this area, within 2 miles from here. Uh-huh. We hadn't eaten in there a while, so my wife and I went, and food was great. I mean, they have no problem with the food. The product's good. But the other product, the customer service, it was unbelievable. We tried to go pay for our meal and had to stand there while the person behind the register was texting. Even the waitress, it was the same thing. They were having a little meeting over there, and they just couldn't get to us and give us those refills. You need to watch that stuff. These are, like Jay said, these are people that may not have had great training. They may not have had any experience other than working in maybe a fast food atmosphere that wasn't quite as strong on the customer service. And they need to be watched. They need to be told.
Right, and they may not even know that they're acting improperly. To them, that's just normal behavior.
Oh, sure, because they're texting and emailing and calling all the time, and that's just one of the things that we're seeing, one of the phenomenons we're seeing in communication now.
Okay, that was quite a lengthy discussion on the first thing that local businesses should be doing, but it's obviously important. I mean, probably the number one thing you can do for your business as far as inspiring loyalty, creating word of mouth, is to give great customer experience and a great customer service. What else are we looking at to do on a local level, Bob? What are important for local marketers to look at doing?
Well, you know, of course, you and I are both in the marketing business, and we're trying to help people grow and be better, have a better product. When you've got a business, you've set up your business. Probably one of the things that you didn't do was have a marketing person on staff. You haven't got anybody that is an expert outside of your particular field. Mm-hmm. You're great at doing this, but you know, when it comes to laying out the plan for your business and which direction it's going to go, how you're going to market it, how you're going to position and brand yourself, I really have to encourage you, despite the fact that we're in this business, you need to get somebody else to cast eyes on your marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's going to be somebody that that you know and you can bring in and be your consultant on a regular basis, whether it's on an hourly basis or it's somebody that you know, you put on retainer for your business from now on. But you need to have somebody else outside of your business help you see the forest for the trees, because you have too many things going on running your business to be an expert in every area.
Yeah, get an outside perspective, and we're not just trying to sell our services here, but get an outside perspective on your branding, especially establishing that brand promise. And I can tell you who not to rely on to do that, and that and those are the advertising sales reps.
Sure.
That come calling on you, because they are trained to do one thing. They are trained to sell you something. They are not trained, amazingly enough, they're not even trained to use their own medium effectively. They're just trained to sell you something. And so what happens is salespeople come in and they'll just try to sell you. They can't give you good marketing advice. Now, there are rare exceptions to that. I know of a couple of reps in this market who do a good job and try to give you advice outside of their own industry, but those people are rare. So mostly you don't want to look at your local advertising sales reps. You want to get a professional perspective on your marketing plan.
Well, I think, Jay, you and I have been fortunate, and we've been in different media, and you know, this is kind of where the experience part of the equation pays off. But you're right, I do believe that there's some great sales reps, and they have a good perspective on the overall market and everything. But you really need somebody outside of that industry that has been in it, that understands how radio, TV, internet, and all of those things, print, outdoor, how it all works together, and because there are media that businesses may be doing right now for no other reason other than a representative from that media came in and sold them
right.
And I'm not saying that they're not getting some results out of it, but how could you get better results out of that same media you're buying? And that's what we can help you with.
How does it all fit together? Well, you just rattled off, Bob, all the traditional media. But absent from all that list that you gave us was all the new media and the social media stuff. How important do you think that new media stuff is on a local level for marketing?
My answer is it's becoming more important. Mm-hmm. Right now, what I see with my clients is that people understand it's there. They know it exists. They know people who use that media. They may be using it themselves, but they, at the moment, they don't see how it applies to helping them market. They don't quite know how to go about using that. And I see a quick change in that. I think that that people like you and other people that are really knowledgeable of how to make that work, they are impressing upon them the importance of them getting involved in that, and they're helping them see that.
So do you think right now that these online marketing tools, are they being underused, overused, overhyped right now? What's their role in local marketing?
Maybe it's all of the above. I think there's a lot of hype, and I agree with that, and I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I just think there's a lot of excitement about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that it's being applied properly yet.
Right. I'm a believer in social media. Obviously, we're participating in social media right now with this podcast, and I blog, and I'm on Twitter and everything like that. But I think it's important for local businesses to put this all in perspective. It's not the magic marketing tool. And really, as such, it's been largely unproven for results for local marketing. You hear of these amazing case studies all the time, but those case studies are few and far between. I think most people experience, just like traditional advertising, they experience a lot of frustration in getting results with their social media and these new media marketing tools.
The businesses here are going to need some help with that. And I think we maybe, as an analogy, it is where the actual internet itself was. Mm-hmm. 10, 12 years ago. I think people see the potential there and they want to be involved in it. they just don't know everything there is to know about it.
Yeah, just that's a good point, Bob, is going back to the internet boom. Remember when it was going to be the internet boom, the dot-com boom turned into the dot-com bust. All these online stores were going to make millions and billions of dollars like overnight. And if you go back and you look at the internet boom bust, you can put this social media hype in perspective and say, yeah, it's going to be important, but it's not like all of a sudden it's there and everything can be done through social media.
Well, I think you have to, you know, social media and marketing, you know, you really have to be very careful how you use it. I think it's important. You have to have a clear strategy, how you're going to use it. How does it fit with what we're already doing? How can I best utilize that to help my business grow? Because if you jump out there and without a clear message and a clear strategy, you're going to end up hurting yourself. It's like putting up a website that has no meaning and doesn't do anything for somebody. It's a brochure sitting on the internet doing nothing for you. And you certainly don't want to be saying anything incorrectly. You don't want to say it the wrong way. Boy, you can really end up hurting yourself.
So I guess the advice is just put it in perspective. Don't drop all your traditional advertising, all your traditional media, especially if it's been working for you, and then go over and try and find the magic social media cure.
I think people have declared the death of some of our traditional media prematurely. It is very, very powerful and very effective. It's just that now we're having to use it a little bit differently than we did before. It's changing.
But you and I can both point to examples for our clients where we are using traditional media very effectively. And so when I hear somebody say, oh, television is dead, I have to say, well, don't tell my clients, you know, because they're getting results from it.
Yeah. No, it's television is very much alive. It's just totally different, right. You know, with cable and dish and DirecTV and all that. I think the thing that that local television, of course, still has going for it and always will is if they, really remain local. The local news and local community involvement. And as long as they're doing that, mm-hmm. I see them still prospering years from now. The newspaper, of course, print certainly is in trouble, but I think there'll always be a newspaper in some shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah. Well, what else, Bob, haven't we covered? What are some good other local marketing tips that you'd like to give?
Well, I think you really need to be conscious of your product. Do you have the product for what's going on right now? Mm. Have you presented yourself the same way for the last 50 years or the last 10 years without changing anything? Is anything new and improved and different? If your product is not very good, if you've got problems with customer service, if you've got problems and issues with supply, with parts, with delivering the product, there's not a whole lot that we can do for you, because we can certainly get somebody there for you, whatever media you're using. But if the product's not any good, then you got a big problem. You're not going to sell it. So you need to improve your product. Take a real good look at it. What is different and remarkable and unusual that you could be doing to improve your product is what I would say.
It's the old axiom, right? Good marketing can't save a bad business or a bad product. You have to, as you talked about earlier, give them great service and then give them a product that's actually, you know, useful, new, exciting, different. I mean, that's what people are buying. People are not just making transactions. They're buying something that they want. They have a purpose for doing business with you, and it's up to you to find out what that purpose is and fulfill it.
Agreed. If let's just say that you might be in the to pick a category, if you were in the plumbing business, for example, well, you're a plumber. That's great. Everybody understands pretty much what that is, or do they? What else could a plumbing company be doing for people? Are there any other services that you could be offering? How about expanding into water purification? I know a lot of plumbers have done that over the last several years. Who's not conscious of bad water right now? I mean, that's all that's going on in the media, especially the bottled water we all thought was really safe and everything.
Yeah.
Why not have a line of water purification systems for homes and businesses that you can sell, especially for the general consumer like you and I? I mean, I'd like to be able to buy something that would be affordable. I don't know exactly where to go to get that. Mm. Remodeling services for a plumbing company might be great, because the two biggest things people remodel in their house, where the most problems happen for plumbing, kitchens and bathrooms. So I'd say pull a deal with a a remodeling contractor, you've got all the design work covered and the plumbing and everything, it'd be a great place to start. So that's the kind of thinking that you need to be doing no matter what business you're in. What could you offer that would help you expand your business and be new and different?
Yeah, you got to keep up with the game. Well, Bob, what else do you think the businesses can be doing on a local level to market more effectively?
I think there's a lot of opportunity to help you be better in the eyes of the community with local community marketing. And that could be anything from sponsoring the Little League team, the soccer team, sponsoring an event. It may be something that maybe a radio or a TV station brings you, an opportunity to sponsor something like, you know, cancer, the Cancer Walk or Pink To Do, those kind of things. But you need to make sure that you're getting the most out of those dollars. So it's more than just writing a check for $500 to sponsor something for a golf tournament. It's what else can we get out of that and utilize it to its fullest to make sure that your name is getting out there. But it creates a lot of goodwill.
Yeah, you can waste a lot of money on some of these sponsorships if they don't mean anything, if they're not part of your marketing plan. I mean, you should not just sponsor the Little League just because your friends, well, maybe that's the reason to sponsor it, but but don't just go throwing your sponsorship dollars out there. Even though you need to be involved in the community, make sure that, like you said, you can get some kind of use out of it, but that you can also be important in the cause that you're part of. You don't want to get lost. Like here locally, as you know, the American Cancer Society is very big. They have a very big annual event called the Cattle Baron's Ball.
Right.
All the big players in town are part of that, and they spend a lot of money. So if you've got $500, you can give it to the Cancer Society and be part of the Cattle Baron's Ball. But you are going to be way down at the bottom of the list of importance in that. And so take that $500 and go somewhere where you can be important, where it can accomplish something, and that you will be recognized for your contribution to the community.
Absolutely. I think that one other benefit of having a marketing person is we're great at saying no for you, especially when friends and family come calling, but we're also great at expanding what that $500 or $1,000 contribution can do for you, because we see opportunities that could really help you out. And, you know, all of my clients have a community involvement budget. And, you know, sometimes we go a little bit more, a little bit less, but it's there. And we're always looking for great opportunities. I'd encourage every business to do something like that.
All right. Great talk on local marketing here today with my friend Bob Locke of Locke Marketing in Woodway, Texas, LAUCK. Bob, where can we find you on the web?
You can find me at lockmarketing.com. Email is bob@lockmarketing.com.
And that's LAUCK. Hey, Bob, we appreciate your contribution today. Power to the small business.
Thanks, Jay.
Great tips for local small businesses there. I will post the show notes on the blog, which is themarketingspotblog.com. So you can see a recap of what Bob and I talked about, what you can do on a local level. Hey, it's easier than you think. Check out the show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. That's where you can also add your comments and subscribe in iTunes. And a reminder, don't forget to sign up for the free branding webinar. What is a brand and how do I get one? It's coming up in August, August 17th and August 20th. Get details at the website, themarketingspot.com. My name is Jay Arrett. I hope you'll join me next time on the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to Power to the Small Business with Jay Arrett, the internet show exclusively about small business marketing. Please see the complete show notes at themarketingspotblog.com. You can also listen to the show online and subscribe in iTunes at powertothesmallbusiness.com. Never miss an episode of the internet show all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.